Scripture reading this morning will be the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20, 1 through 15. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourselves a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. You or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in the sixth day the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal.
Well, this morning we're getting back on track in our study of the Ten Commandments. For those of you that are visiting with us, several weeks ago, we began a study of the Ten Commandments, knowing that they were specifically given to the Jews, the Jewish nation, by God to Moses, to the children of Israel, and stated in Exodus chapter 20. But also knowing that these Ten Commandments are a core statement for all ages of all time of how we need to establish our relationship with God and our relationship with man. In our study of the first four commandments, we see how that they were specifically related to God-man relationship. The last six, we're on number eight this morning, is our relationship with each other, with man to man. Now, last week we took a little side road because we talked about our Thanksgiving. I hope that you did have a good Thanksgiving holiday. I know that I certainly did, and I, as probably a lot of us did, I ate way too much dressing and all the trimmings and the pecan pies and the apple pies, and even my little girls made little cupcakes that were pretty good. So we had plenty to eat for our Thanksgiving, and I was very thankful for that. But this morning we're back to study the eighth commandment, thou shalt not steal. In Luke chapter 17, or in Luke chapter 10, verses 20 through 37, there Jesus tells us the story of the Good Samaritan. And in this parable, we are able to see three philosophies in regard to personal property. There is the philosophy of the thieves who said, what's yours is mine and I'll take it any way that I can get it. We see that philosophy very prevalent in our world today. There is so many who have so little disregard for the things that belong to someone else. We have been told that in the recent years, the crime of theft has absolutely blown out the top, just raging. A lot is attributed to the fact that there are many who have habits that they have to have financial means to support, and because of that, they'll take anything from anybody. Family, friends, church, it doesn't matter. Those are the ones whose philosophy are like the thieves in the parable of the Good Samaritan. What's yours is mine, and I'll get it if I can. Another philosophy we see was that of the priest and the Levites. And that is, what's mine is mine, and it's going to stay mine. Now I'm going to hold on to it. You remember how that they were the ones who saw the man in need, but walked by on the other side. Selfishness, stinginess. Kind of reminds me of the little girl who wrote a poem that said, "I gave a little party this afternoon at 3. 'Twas very small, 3 guests in all. I, myself, and me. Myself ate the sandwiches while I drank up the tea. And it was I who ate the cake and passed the pie to me." We are very selfish sometimes in the things that we have. And that really is not God's way. But we do see God's way presented in the theology of the Good Samaritan, whose philosophy is, what is mine is mine, but I'll share it if you need it. Which is the philosophy that we need to have as Christians, which is the philosophy that Jesus had. And so in our study of the 8th commandment this morning, you shall not steal, I want us to look at it in 3 different ways. I want us to look at it in stealing from God, from others, stealing from God, and stealing from self. And I think that whenever we get into this study, we're going to find that this idea, or the overall picture that God had in mind for us, is way, way bigger than simply just taking something from somebody that doesn't belong to you. First of all, stealing from others. This is the first concept that we get when we hear or read the commandment, "You shall not steal." And we're talking about aggressive robbery, taking something from someone that doesn't belong to us. Several years ago, there was a power failure in New York City, and it was unbelievable how people began to loot and steal. In fact, 3,500 people were arrested. And the only reason why there weren't more is because there were not enough policemen to simply catch them. Somebody said that the test of a man's character is what he is in the dark. Well, certainly on that occasion, it proved to be a test of man's character. But what we have to realize is that, as the psalmist said, to God, night is as day, and day is as night. Kind of like the true story, by the way, true story of a guy that walked into the bank, handed the bank teller a note, said, "This is a robbery, give me your money." And she wrote a little note and handed it back to him and said, "Straighten your tie, stupid. They're taking your picture." So, yeah, God's camera is always running. Always running. You cannot hide from God. In fact, the writer of Hebrews tells us that God can see even to dividing the joints and the marrow, even into the very depths of our thoughts. And so we have to realize that God sees what we do, and what we take that is not ours. God said, "You shall not steal." But then there is the crime of fraud. This is high class stealing. It doesn't sometimes it doesn't even bother us because we don't even classify it as stealing, but it absolutely is. For example, when a man refuses to do an honest day's work but takes pay from his employer, what is that? Paul said, "Slaves, in all things, obey those who are your masters on earth, not with external service as those who would merely please men, but with sincerity of heart, fearing God." Colossians 3 and verse 22. Now, the word slave certainly can apply to us, and Paul was simply saying here, you give your employer an honest day's work for an honest day's pay, which brings us to employers. If you expect an honest day's work, you need to pay an honest day's pay. And James refers to this in James 5 and verse 4. "Behold, the pay of the laborers who mowed your fields, and which has been withheld by you, cries out against you, and the cry of those that did the harvesting has reached the ears of the Lord of the Sabbath." It's just a matter of what is right and what is not right. And it's right to do right, always. And then, what about gambling? What about gambling? Does gambling come under the moral wrong? The idea that God has in mind here? Say, well, what's wrong with gambling? Well, gambling is morally wrong because you can't win something that somebody else doesn't lose. Somebody has to lose in order for us to win if we gamble. Trying to get something that belongs to someone else without working for it. Someone said this, when someone gambles and wins, he's a thief. When you gamble and lose, he's a fool. And I'm not sure, but what there's a lot of truth in that very thought. But just as sure as you talk about gambling, the first thing someone's going to say, well, what about the stock market? Well, the stock market is a risk, but it's not gambling. It's not the same thing. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 22 and verse 13, "Woe to him who builds his house without righteousness and his upper rooms without justice, who uses his neighbor's services without pay and does not give him wages." The writer of Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 2 said, "Woe to him that increases that which is not his." Gambling is wrong because it's kin to it's a first cousin at best to the spirit of thou shalt not steal. And then what about unpaid debts? Paul said in Romans 1 and verse or 13 and verse 8, owe no man nothing. He's not saying you can't buy something on time. Because if you pay your bill that month, you don't owe anything. So he's not saying that. He's just simply saying, be honest. If you borrow something, pay it back. It's amazing how people will come up with excuses about why they didn't pay their debts. But it really doesn't matter. What's right is right, no matter what someone did or did not do. Somebody said it costs to be honest, or it pays to be honest. Well, it costs to be honest sometimes too. But whether it costs or pays, be honest anyway. And then what about slander? There are more things that you can steal from a man than his property. One of the things you can take is his reputation, his character. To try to demean or undermine or destroy a person's good name. Shakespeare was the one who said, "He who steals my purse steals trash. But he that flouches my good name robs me of that which does not enrich him and makes me very poor indeed." Gossiping, slander, attacking a person's good name, it's stealing. It certainly is. Falls under the idea of stealing. And kids, what about cheating? What about cheating at school? Well, you say, "Preacher, everybody does it." That's not the point. You have to be different because you are a Christian. Cheating is wrong. You're stealing something that is not yours. Sometimes you don't do it really good. I heard about a football player that cheated his way through school. And his teacher suspected that he was guilty, but he just couldn't catch him. Until one day he was cheating off this smart girl, and she came to a question that said was particularly hard, and she simply wrote down, "I do not know the answer to this question." And he wrote, "I don't know it either." So, wasn't really smart at his cheating. But probably that guy got a 4-year ride to a D1 school too, because he could play football. But it still doesn't make it right. And then what about, probably worst of all, is stealing someone's faith. Jeremiah chapter 23, the Lord said, "Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer which shatters a rock? Therefore, behold, I'm against the prophets, declares the Lord, who steal my words." Who steal my words. "I'm against the tongues of the prophets who declare, behold, I am against those who have prophesied false dreams, says the Lord, and relate them and led my people astray by their falsehoods and reckless boasting. Yet I did not send them or command them, nor do they furnish the people the slightest benefit, declares the Lord." Taking someone's faith, stealing someone's faith. The Lord is against preachers who preach doctrine, the doctrine of men that do not come from God's word. The Lord is against those professors in our colleges who try to undermine the sanctity of God's word and try to get our young people to follow a path that does not lead them to God. The Lord is against those fathers and mothers who withhold the truth of God's word from their children, who do not provide them the opportunity to have a faith that will sustain them in a world that is seeking to destroy them. In Matthew 18 and verse 6, Jesus said, "But whoever causes is one of these little ones who believes in me to stumble, it is better for him that a heavy millstone be hung around his neck and that he be drowned in the depths of the sea." There's nothing that we possess in this world that is more precious than our children. And God help the man or woman who tries to hurt them physically or mentally or spiritually. I like the Master himself. Just do not think there's a place in hell hot enough or tormenting enough for someone who will hurt a child. Hume was an agnostic and a humanist and an infidel. And he argued for years and years with his mother. And as she lay dying, in an attempt to comfort her, he said to her, "Mother, hang on." To which his mother said, I quote, "There's nothing to hang on to. You have taken away my faith." It is our rock and our strength. Our faith is our salvation. It is that life preserver when we're drowning in a world of despair. And for someone to take that away is stealing. And then there is stealing against God. When we withhold ourselves from God, we're taking something that does not belong to us. We are not our own. Paul makes that abundantly clear in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. When he says, "You are not your own. You are bought with a price." We belong to God. And whenever we withhold that from God, when we withhold our love, when we withhold our obedience, we are stealing something that belongs to God and not to ourselves. Peter says in 1 Peter 1, verses 18 and 19, "Know ye not that you were not redeemed by perishable things like silver and gold from the futile way of life that you inherited from your forefathers, but by the precious blood of the Lamb, unblemished, spotless, the blood of Christ." Story is told of a little boy who made a sailboat and took it out to the lake to sail it, but he lost it. And he grieved because he had worked so hard to build his boat. But a few weeks later, he saw his boat in the window of a merchant store, and he went in and he said, "That's my boat." To which the merchant said, "It's not your boat now." So he went out and he worked and he worked and he saved until he could save enough money. He went back to the store and bought his boat. As he was walking out, he said, "You are mine, twice mine. I made you and I bought you." And that same thing can be said of us to God. I made you and I bought you. God wants us back home. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Because He loved us, He made us, and He bought us. We can steal from God when we withhold our contribution, when we withhold our time, when we withhold our talents. In Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 through 10, there the sage of old wrote, "Will you rob God? You are robbing me. But you say, how have I robbed thee? In tithes and contributions. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house, and test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until there is no more need." God Himself is saying, you can and you are robbing me. Paul wrote these words, "Now this I say, that he that sows sparingly will reap sparingly. But he who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. Let each one do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6 and 7. And then finally this morning, there is a way that we can steal from ourselves. You steal from yourselves when you refuse to render your soul and your obedience to God. Jesus said in Mark 8 and verse 35, "For whoever wishes to save his life shall lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake shall save it. For what shall a man profit if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" And so, there is the letter of the law, thou shalt not steal. And there is the spirit of the law, you shall not steal. Now, back to those three and the story of the Good Samaritan. The thieves who said, "What's yours is mine, and I'll take it any way I can get it." Or the Levite and the priest who said, "What's mine is mine, and I'm going to keep it." Or the Good Samaritan who said, "What's mine is mine, but I'll share it if you need it." Now, which one of those philosophies is characteristic of your life? As I must ask, what is characteristic of mine? We have a great opportunity to serve the Lord and secure for ourselves a home in heaven. But it includes being humble enough to obey Him, to hear His words, to believe Him, repent of our sins, confess that He is the Christ, to be baptized, and to live faithfully in service to Him. As long as we live, be thou faithful unto death, I'll give thee a crown of life. Can we help you with that relationship, the relationship with you and God? Will you come while together we stand and sing?